Good morning. Welcome to church at Norton Summit. We're often told that we live in a global world, and we really do. But since the pandemic began to unfold all over the world, the matter of citizenship has suddenly become front and centre. People living in nations far from the country they were born in have scurried home to the place of their birth, to the nation where they hold citizenship. People do that because as citizens in a nation, if they are living in that nation, they have particular rights. They know they will receive the care that they need. They will be more safe than they can be anywhere else in the world. In their home nation, in the nation where they hold citizenship, they enjoy all of those privileges. In Australia, in all nations of the world, we're facing the vexed question of when we reopen our borders. And to whom and at what point is it safe to do this? Citizenship can be a golden ticket. But the issue of citizenship is incredibly complex. At the heart of it, there are questions about loyalty and belonging and identity. And every nation expects those who are citizens of that nation to be loyal to that nation. There is a reason why almost all nations have a legal code that talks about something called treason, which is failure to be loyal to your to the nation of your citizenship. Today we've reached the crux of the book of Philippians, and surprise, surprise, it's all about citizenship. Paul is writing to a church which has been established in Philippi, which is in the heart of the Roman Empire. The community in Philippi has both Roman citizens who are imports, who've come from somewhere else and who belong to Rome, and Jewish people who belong in that region. And that makes for a tense community. People tend not to love those who've invaded them. They don't naturally adopt the values and the systems of those who colonized their country. Instead, citizens ask questions like, "What have the Romans ever done for us?" And the empire's got its own set of expectations on those who are Roman citizens. It expects citizens of Rome to bring the very best of Rome to whichever nation they happen to be living in, to bring the values and the culture and the rule of Rome into these places across the empire, to create an outpost of Rome, to bring the glory of Rome to Philippi. And in return for this, if there's trouble in the town, they've got the Roman Empire, the Roman army on speed dial, because Roman citizens are outnumbered in all of these places by the locals. So they've got the backing of Rome whenever they need it. What complicates matters for the Philippian church is that the Roman emperor is not only the ruler of the empire, he is viewed as being divine. To be Caesar is to be a god. And the language around Caesar is that he is Lord and Saviour. Think about that language. So that's the background to this letter. It's very hard to understand what Paul's saying without that background. Let me read from chapter 3, starting at verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. If on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of God, the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. All through this passage, Paul is talking about the goal, something to strive for, something to win, and something that has already been attained. So what is this prize? What is this thing that we are to pour ourselves out to receive? It's citizenship. Citizenship of heaven. This is the prize that is worth absolutely everything. You and I live in Australia, and as Australian citizens, we enjoy wonderful privileges. People all over the world would and have died to receive some of those kinds of privileges. But the truth is that we are dual citizens. We have citizenship of Australia and we have citizenship of heaven. And that is our primary citizenship. This isn't pie in the sky when we die citizenship. This isn't about a promise for life after life. We have a promise for that, but this is about us bringing heaven to earth, not in our own power, but in the power of God, creating outposts of heaven all across the earth and building those outposts of heaven in our local neighbourhoods. Just as the Roman Empire had outposts all across the known world, so heaven has outposts all across the world. I want to tell you a story this morning, and it starts about 60 years ago. Two Australian doctors, a husband and wife team, met in Sydney and decided they had a calling together, that as a husband-wife medical team, they could do something of significance, something to bring heaven on earth. So they accepted a short-term posting, only 3 years, to Ethiopia. And they got there, and Ethiopia took hold of them. They loved Ethiopia in spite of the overwhelming needs that they saw there. Very soon after they arrived, they saw a medical condition that they'd never seen anywhere in Australia before, not ever. It was called a fistula. A fistula is an injury that a woman sustains when she has long, unrelieved, obstructed labour. It leaves her seriously wounded. The women that these people, these doctors came across who experienced a fistula, 93% of them, by the time they delivered their baby, the baby had died. You would think with that dreadful experience that they would receive compassion, but instead these women found themselves on the very edges of society. They were often rejected by both their local community and by their husbands because their injuries made them difficult to be around. It broke the hearts of this couple. These doctors were Reg and Catherine Hamlin. You've possibly heard of their book, The Hospital by the River. Reg died about 25 years ago and Catherine died this year, she died in March as the pandemic was rolling out across the world. But even though there was another really big news story, this made headlines because they had had such an impact through their work. Until the Hamlins, nobody had ever attempted to repair the injuries that these women had sustained. They developed a new form of surgery that left the women free to live a normal life. Fistula repairs became their life work. They established the Hamlin Hospital in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, in the capital. It was their own little outpost of heaven on earth. There are now 6 Hamlin hospitals across Ethiopia, and there are 80 midwifery clinics. They've got a massive training program to train midwives so that fistulas can be prevented. They also have a rehabilitation center where women regain strength after their surgery, but also to, in a holistic way, restore dignity to women who lost it. The name of this village is Destemenda, which translates as Joy Village, which I think is a great name for an outpost of heaven. The Hamlins went to Ethiopia as outsiders. They needed travel visas to get in the country and to move around parts of it at times. But because of the immense good that they did, Ethiopia offered them citizenship. As you would. We, as Australians, are only too proud to claim them as our own. They belong to us. But others who examined their work carefully see a really different citizenship at play. Now, no less a light than Oprah said this about the Hamlins. I believe this is God's work on earth, what you are doing. God's work on earth. What does the Lord's Prayer say? It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is what they've done. They've done the work of heaven on earth in a nation where it stands out like a beacon of light. Catherine left a legacy. She and her husband have left a legacy that has changed the face of Ethiopia. And those who look at what they've done understand that this is to do with heaven. That's amazing. So here's my question for all of us. Where is your citizenship? Is it here in Australia? Or is it in heaven? And do the people around you recognize which one of those is your primary citizenship? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you know that we are very shaped by what we can see, by what is around us, by what we can touch, by what we can do. And the earth is very, very real to us, and we know that it's precious to you. But we ask that our hearts, our citizenship, will be most truly in heaven, and that we will bring heaven on earth for your sake. Amen. Thank you.